Spread the fire. Welcome to SMWX. Today we are talking about Zimbabwe. We did an episode last year about the Zimbabwean elections, things to think about, things to look at. And we are now looking at an update of everything that has happened since 2023. It's actually quite important to think about these things because we often think of democracy in moments, especially in the moment of voting. But there's so much more to a democracy than simply the moment of voting. There are the constitutional frameworks, the participants themselves, civil society, and varying dynamics which affect the health and status of a democracy. So Zimbabwe, I think, is useful to look at to understand even the South African moment and the kind of things everybody has to think about going into the May 29 election, but also what happens after. Is it going to be chaos? Is it going to be stability? Is it going to be prosperity? All of those things are not just a function of what happens on the day, but what happens thereafter. A framing question, if you will, for this particular debate or discussion is this question. Is Zimbabwe becoming another Gabon? Is Zimbabwe becoming another Gabon? I don't know if you know the history of Gabon, but for 56 years, Gabon was led and ruled by one family. One family. The second president and the third president came from one family, and they ran Gabon for 56 years. So what happened was, Omar Bongo became the second president of Gabon, and he ruled Gabon from 1967 until he died. From 1967 until he died. Then guess what happened? His son took over. His son took over after him, Ali Bongo, and he ruled from 2009 until 2023. What happened in 2023 is that there was a sham election, an election which was plagued by complaints from the opposition, etc. He won on 62%, and the army said, enough is enough, we're coming in. There was a military coup. He then made a video, and I wonder if we could put up a screenshot of that video, where he was like, call everybody, call your friends, call your cousins, you know, the people, my friends all around the world, please help me. We have been overthrown. And nobody called their friends because he was a dictator. His father was a dictator. It was just a dictatorship situation. And there was no sympathy for him. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. So when I ask the question, is Zimbabwe becoming another Gabon? This question pertains to the fact that it seems as if Emmerson Mnangagwa is now in a position, the strongest position ever, for him to rule Zimbabwe and for his family members to comfortably take over. We'll talk about that a little bit more after. So going into that 2023 election, there were some concerns that people had about the results. The first concern was about the issue of term limits. African dictators have been known to change the term limits so that they can continue to run. The Zimbabwean constitution was amended in 2013. Actually, it was adopted in 2013, amended once, but it does not allow in its current state after the whole Mugabe fiasco. You know, he had to make some concessions in 2008, and by 2013, term limits had been imposed. And the constitution does not allow for a president to run for more than two terms. And also, it doesn't allow for there to be a change of the constitution extending terms that benefits the sitting president. So keep that in mind. The constitution doesn't allow more than two terms, and it also doesn't allow, if you change it, for the third term to benefit the current incumbent. And that was done to try to prevent the next Zimbabwean leader from doing another Mugabe. To change the constitution, you require a two-thirds majority. These are important facts for us all to remember. No term limit, no two terms, no more than two terms. And if you change that, it cannot benefit the sitting guy. But to change it, you need two-thirds majority in parliament. So going into that election, the 2023 election, there were many issues. many issues. The SADC election observer mission actually said that the election was not free and fair, but these were the results. Emmerson Mnangagwa got 53% of the vote. Then Nelson Chamisa got 44% of the vote. In parliament, ZANU-PF secured 177 seats, while the CCC, the Citizens Coalition for Change, secured 103 seats. These numbers in the parliamentary seats, the National Assembly, were important because at that particular point, ZANU-PF did not have two-thirds majority to change the constitution to allow for the third term or also to change any other provision, including the provision which says you can't benefit from a third term if it was changed in your time. Anything in the constitution can be changed if you have the numbers. So, since then, Nelson Chamisa, the leader of the CCC, has quit. He has quit the CCC. And he said that his political party has been infiltrated by ZANU-PF. And prior to his quitting, a gentleman called Sengezo Shabang showed up and said that he was the acting secretary general of the CCC and that there were members in parliament who were not in good standing. So he wrote a letter to the Speaker of Parliament and he recalled those people. And then after those people were recalled, there were by-elections, right? There was a process. It was taken to court. The court sided with Sengezo and they defied the general burdens which exist for this type of a case because he who alleges must prove. Sengezo did not prove stuff. Nelson Chamisa said he wasn't the secretary general of the party. However, because of the relationship between ZANU-PF and the courts and the nature of dictatorships in general, the court sided with Chabang and by-elections were held. Now ZANU-PF has 190 seats in the parliament. The total number is 280. They have 190 seats and they now have the two-thirds majority required for them to be able to change the constitution. First, to remove the provision which says the sitting president cannot benefit from a third term if the constitution were to change it. And then to remove the provision which says that they cannot be more than two terms for the sitting president. So now ZANU-PF is actually in peak position to execute their vision. We have seen on social media and at other events that ZANU-PF has been holding, people actually talking about that Emmerson Mnangagwa will be the president in 2030. They chant 2030, 2030. The significance of that is that 2028 is when his term of office officially expires. So unless we change the constitution to extend the term of office, it is impossible for Emmerson Mnangagwa to be the president of Zimbabwe in 2030. But he has a backup plan in any case. But this is all part of the discussion that we are having now. What is the backup plan? Since Emmerson Mnangagwa became the president of Zimbabwe, these are the developments. Emmerson Mnangagwa appointed his son, David Kudakasho Mnangagwa, to become the deputy finance minister. So the deputy minister of finance is the president's son. But not only that, he didn't stop there. He put another relative in there. Togai Mnangagwa, his nephew, and he made him the deputy tourism minister. On top of that, his son, Shoten Mnangagwa, who is a general in the Zimbabwean army, is one of the people who is an officer in the presidential guard. So he's watching the money, he's watching the tourists, and also he's having his back protected by none other than his own son. But if you think about what this means in the long term, it means that the Mnangagwa family has got three, and actually there's several more relatives and people who are from his village and his home area who are in various seats in the government. This actually means that right now, Zimbabwe is looking as if it is on the path to becoming a dynasty that is run by the Mnangagwa family in the same way that Gabon was run by the Bongo family for 56 years. Think about this. Now, you may think, hey, maybe there's an opposition opportunity to bounce back, etc. But the Zimbabwean opposition has now been besieged by a total collapse. And it makes one think about the history of the Zimbabwean opposition and whether or not they really have any credibility for the next election. This is what has happened with Zimbabwean opposition in general. The first major opposition that people are aware of, which is the Movement for Democratic Change, was founded in 1999, and it was created as an opposition to the ZANU-PF, which was led by Robert Mugabe, and it came from a coalition of farmers, a coalition of trade union members, and people who were opposed to the constitutional amendments which were being proposed in the constitutional referendum by Robert Mugabe. They actually won that issue, and Mugabe was not able to amend the constitution as he deemed fit. It then became an official party which contested for elections and was doing very successfully in the environment where they were being oppressed, votes were being rigged, and there were many problems with access to media. If you then look at the history of the MDC from 99, in 2005, the MDC split, and it split into two. Movement for Democratic Change, which was led by Morgan Tsvangirai, and another Movement for Democratic Change, which was led by Welshman Mulwe. That was the first split. So now you had two MDCs contesting. Over the years, this pattern of MDC dividing continued. At some point, Tendai Biti left the MDC in late 2014, and formed another political party, which started off being named MDC something else, I think R for Renewal or something like that. Then it ended up being called PDP, I think was the name of his particular party, right? People's Democratic Party. And when you then look at post the removal of Mugabe and the 2018 election, what then happened was that you had one out of the MDC contesting, and then you had the MDC Alliance contesting the election. And the MDC Alliance was led by Nelson Chamisa. After they performed reasonably well in that particular election, they still lost the election. And there were issues as well in that election. Emmerson Mnangagwa was accused of rigging the election. The ZANU-PF was accused of rigging the election. Soon after that, a gentleman called Douglas Wonzora, I think I'm saying his name correctly, but if I'm not, I don't speak Shona that well, so please forgive me. Douglas Wonzora actually came and started recalling members of parliament from the Movement for Democratic Change. And he used similar grounds that actually were used by Sega Zochabalia. And what then happened is that at some point, people then said to each other, we cannot run under the MDC brand. Let us make a new brand, Citizens Coalition for Change, where we will avoid the factional disputes that have emanated from the history of the MDC. And this is what led to the election in 2023 being run under the banner of the Citizens Coalition for Change under the leadership of Nelson Chamisa. But I've already told you how that story ended. It ended with a gentleman claiming to be the Secretary General, recalling people. And as things stand right now, what then happened after Nelson Chamisa quit is that two gentlemen were then appointed to be acting presidents of the party. The acting presidents of the party were Welshman Mulwe, the gentleman who split from MDC in 2005 to form a breakaway party. So he's one of the acting presidents. And the second acting president was Tendai Biti, the gentleman who split from the MDC in 2014 to form a new party. So we are right back where the process started with these opposition entities in Zimbabwe, where you have people fighting for leadership, where you have no leader who is clear, and you've got a party that is now splintered into fragments of itself while trying to go against a ZANU-PF that is united, that is in power, and that is led by a family which occupies multiple positions of leadership. And this is what makes me ask the question, has the Zimbabwean situation turned yet again into another African family dynasty where one family will rule for the foreseeable future unless and until the army gets tired of them and removes them? That is where things are right now in Zimbabwe. And looking at the situation, It does not seem to be that the public will be so trusting of opposition entities in the next election. In 2008, there was a high, and people trusted Morgan Tsvangirai, and he actually won that election, point blank, period. Mugabe and Emmerson Mnangagwa used machinations to massage and to get into the presidency, and this was a cause of crisis that led to the Zimbabwean exemption permit and a variety of things that are still very controversial and contentious within the Southern African space. So after that win and the failure of Tsvangirai to ascend to presidency, there was a government of national unity. Some of the people I mentioned occupied ministerial positions, but the public lost support for the party and the process. And in the next election, which occurred in 2013, what we then saw was that there was diminished support for the opposition benches because people were like, we did this in 2008. It did not work. Going into the 2018 election, there was hope for Nelson Chamisa and the MDC. Going into 2023, there was still hope for Nelson Chamisa and the new party, the Citizens Coalition for Change. It does not appear that the public will be able to re-galvanize again after having seen the same things that they saw in 2014, the same things that they saw in 2005 in terms of bickering opposition, opposition parties that are not able to retain structure shape long enough to advance their program, their ideology, and also to be able to challenge what is one of the most problematic regimes in Southern Africa and in Africa. So as things stand right now, it does look as if Emmerson Mnangagwa will continue to be the president of Zimbabwe, and probably after this, Shona Mnangagwa will be the president, and then another Mnangagwa will be the president, and another Mnangagwa, and another Mnangagwa, more than DJ Khaled can say, another one. This is what it seems to be like at this particular stage. What this does, though, it has implications for democratic integrity on the continent. Already, there were concerns about elections in Africa, broadly. Does this democracy thing work? Already, we are seeing a very strong embrace coming from China, coming from Russia. As democracies continue to lose credibility, as you have strongmen continue to ascend into positions of power, it may very well be the case that in 10 to 15 years, most of Africa will not be democratic. And that will lead to outcomes that we have to start thinking about. Do we really care about this idea of giving every individual the right to determine their future, to choose their leaders who are going to represent them? Or do we not care about this idea? Do we want to be ruled by kings and hope that those kings are actually benevolent and are able to govern? In Zimbabwe, they do not right now seem to have pathways towards democracy. And it's worth remembering that the vote is not the end. The vote is only the beginning. And that applies to every African nation that is having elections this year. What do you think, though? Let's have a conversation. Get it to the comments. Let's discuss this. What did I miss? What didn't I mention? What are you worried about when it comes to the Zimbabwean issue? Are you watching this from South Africa? Are you worried about what this has implications for in terms of immigration? Let's have a conversation. We're in the comments. Keep it respectful. Keep it flowing. We do like to see your contributions. They are part of what makes this show as great as it is. So comment, like, subscribe. A lot of you still aren't subscribed. Press that subscribe thing is right somewhere, I think, here or there. One of these places is where it's at. So thanks so much for watching till the end. Till the next one. Aye, yeah.